We are on air for NASCAR's race review with out NASCAR Hot Topics for tonight. We are going to be reviewing the races at Darlington Raceway as well as Des Moines State Fairgrounds. And the Hot Topics for tonight will be postponed until Thursday night. So just an FYI programming note there to start us off. During our first half hour, we will start with the review of the Arkham Menards Series at Des Moines, and then we'll also spend some time in that first half hour on the NASCAR Truck Series at Darlington. In the second half hour, we'll review both the Xfinity and the Cup Series races at Darlington. And at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, our guest, Jaden Walbridge, will be joining us. He's a pro late model driver at Madera Raceway, and he's with Austin Herzog Motorsports. Joining me for tonight's show as co-host is Sal Segala. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Well, thank you, Sharon.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the dirt race at Des Moines Fairgrounds. A new winner, Landon Lewis, his second start in the Arkham Menards Series, and he comes home with a victory. And he is with Rhett Jones Racing Development, as well as Austin Terrio Racing Development. So a former champion from the Arkham Menards Series having a hand in this. It was fun to see somebody new at the finish.
Yeah, it was probably a big surprise for all the fans that were over there, thinking that there was going to be another repeat winner again. But like I said, we have a new winner to talk about tonight.
Yes, indeed. In fact, earlier in the day, he took the general tire pole and then led every lap on the one-mile clay oval to get this win. So he pretty well dominated the race. A few weeks ago when they were at the Springfield Mile, Landon Lewis finished seventh. That was his first start in the Arkham Menards Series. And then this race, of course, was just his second start, and he came home with that victory in very dominating fashion. So I think we'll see more of Landon Lewis before everything is said and done here.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will. He's a up-and-coming driver from, I think Ron Hornaday had talked about him, you know, not publicly,
yes,
but just some of the people over here at, you know, some of the tracks that we race at. And Ron Hornaday had mentioned that, you know, to look out for this kid, that he could be the next one of the next up and coming rising stars.
Yes, he's competed in the Legend Car Series. He has 22 wins there, 51 top five finishes, and probably what really helped him on the dirt at Des Moines was the dirt modified experience that he has. He's a four-time NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion. Ron Hornaday has been kind of a coach and mentor there. Lewis has 6 wins in that series, 8 second place runs, and 27 top five. So that dirt experience, I think, really helped him out at Des Moines.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. I mean, anytime you get a dirt racer, you know, to come in, you know, and race a dirt race like that, you know, the experience, you know, always comes in helpful.
Without a doubt. Let's take a look at the running order on how they finished, and then we'll talk about the points as well. The complete race results from Des Moines. Again, you had Landon Lewis finishing in first place. Ty Gibbs came in second. That was an improvement for him over what he did at the Springfield Mile. So I'm sure he was happy with that finish. Ken Schrader, one of the favorites in the Arkham Menards series, as well as NASCAR in the number 10 for Andy Hillenburg, came in third. Ryan Unzicker, again, a local dirt racer for Bill Hendren, he finished in fourth place. And Taylor Gray rounded out the top five there. Only one other driver actually finished running, and that was Tim Monroe, a guy that was racing the 01 for Andy Hillenburg. So, yeah, only six cars finished that race. Corey Heim had an overheating issue. Zachary Tinkle had an overheating issue, as did Will Kimmel and Jesse Love as well. Suspension, another overheating issue was for Owen Smith. D.L. Wilson had suspension issues. Oil leak for Tony Breidinger. Brake issue for Brad Smith. Transmission issues for Wayne Peterson. And Kelly Kofsky did not finish either. So a lot of issues for a lot of drivers on the Tacoin Dirt.
Yeah, there was. It's amazing how many more drivers didn't finish the race than what started it.
Exactly. 16 drivers, I believe, started that race, and it did go into overtime. But it was quite a finish. Landon Lewis had to, he's only 15 years old. He had to beat some really good dirt racers. When you think about Kim Schrader and Ryan Unzicker, he had to beat some really good guys in order to get that victory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. And, you know, when you look up and down the, you know, the list, And also the race itself, you know, was a very good very good run for him, very good win, and you know, to see him, if they have 16 drivers that started the race.
Mm-hmm. So the margin of victory was 2.159 seconds. So that's pretty cool. Five cautions for 17 laps, one lead change, and that didn't last for very long. Average speed, pole speed was 105.152 miles per hour. The average speed during the race is pretty low here, 24.527 miles per hour, but that's, I guess, to be expected on dirt. The time of the race was 1 hour, 34 minutes, and 8 seconds. So let's go ahead and cover the standings now in the Arkham Menards series. So
yeah, and another reason it's so low is because of all the wrecks and all the drivers didn't finish. You know that'll lower the average speed of the race down tremendously. And then looking at points, first you got Ty Gibbs leading the points. Corey Heim, who to open up the lead a little bit more. Now he's 16 points ahead. And then once again, it looks like the Corey Heim, Ty Gibbs, Arkham Menards Series Championship showdown, because then you go to third is Thad Moffitt, who's 257 points out of the top spot, which there's no way he's got a chance of catching either of them. And then you got Thad Moffitt in third, Nick Sanchez in fourth, and Brad Smith in fifth. And then we go down to sixth is D.L. Wilson. Seventh is Drew Dollar. Eighth is Taylor Gray. Hal Sieg is ninth, and Jesse Love dropped two, and he rounded out the top 10.
Yeah, he had some issues. Yeah, Jesse's only raced 8 of the 17 races that they've run in this series. Most of these drivers have only two drivers have won all 17 races, and that's Ty Gibbs and Corey Heim. So that's why the battle is basically between those two drivers. Thad Moffitt and Nick Sanchez both have 15 races. Brad Smith has raced 16 of the 17. D.L. Wilson 12, Drew Dollar 10, and then Taylor Gray, Kyle Sieg have run 9 of those races. So That's a big reason for why this is a two-driver battle.
Exactly, like you said, you know, it's and it's kind of amazing, you know, that, you know, it just shows the, you know, I don't know how you would put it, but it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of in a way upsetting to see that actually only two drivers, you know, have raced every race, you know, and that, you know, everyone else, you know, is, you know, well, with the exception of Brad Spitz, who's only one race back, but I mean, then you got two drivers that have raced 15, you know, missed two, and then mm-hmm. other than that, it's just, I mean, they're just drivers that are just kind of showing up, you know, certain tracks, whatever tracks it may be, you know, just to get that experience.
Exactly. It's just really amazing that it's been like that this season. But now we're back with the COVID protocols too. So that may be discouraging some people from showing up at the track too. So we'll see. Okay, so Sal, with regard to the Arca Menards series, we all thought it was going to be either Corey Heim or Ty Gibbs. They now have 16 points separating them in the Arca Menards series. And the next race for this Arca Menards series will be coming up. Let's see here. The Bristol race is the next race. They're taking a week off, and then Thursday, September the 16th, it's going to be the Busch Beans 200 at Bristol Motor Speedway, the 18th of 20 races on the schedule. Now, the Bristol race also serves as a race for the Arca Menards Series East season finale, and it's also round 9 of 10 Sioux Chief Showdown events. So that will broadcast on Fox Sports 1 with a start time of 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And out on the West Coast, I believe that's going to be about 3:30 p.m.
Okay,
just another point of note here. Ty Gibbs wasn't able to lead any laps. It's the second time in the season that that's happened. The first time was at Springfield. But the 18-year-old driver did clinch the 2021 CGS Imaging 4 crown. And that is another competition in the Arca Menards series. It's a four-race series where they celebrate a driver who can win on a diverse set of tracks that includes a super speedway, Kansas, a road course at Mid-Ohio, the short track at Winchester Speedway, and the dirt track at DuQuoin. Now, he won three of those races at Kansas, Mid-Ohio, and Winchester, and that's why he was able to walk away with that championship. So congratulations to Ty Gibbs on winning that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this kid is just really making a a statement this year, you know, with his driving abilities, you know, with the talent that he's been showing.
Yeah, and to have that on all those different tracks is really amazing. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's like you said, he's won it all at every track he's ever visited. It's amazing.
It is amazing. The tracks that he's never been to before, and he's coming home with victories. But it sounds like Landon Lewis might be on that same path. So we'll see what happens. Landon was racing with Rhett Jones Racing this weekend. So we'll have to see what happens if he's able to enter any other events this year.
Going to be interesting to see where this kid ends up. You know, he's only what, 15 years old, just getting started, and man, these kids are just, they're just getting younger and younger, younger and younger by the day. Every season it seems like they start out younger and younger, but if you go to your local short track, you'll see it. You'll see it firsthand, you know, how these team owners are bringing in the kids, you know, fathers are, you know, starting them at a really super young age.
Apologize, I have my mute button on, so let me go back and give the stats here for the start of the truck race here. Sheldon Creed won, made it two straight playoff wins, extending his lead in the Truck Series standings. He won the first playoff race and now the second playoff race at Darlington. If you think about it, he also won the championship race at Phoenix the year before. So that's three straight playoff races that he's won. It's also his third race of the season, his second at Darlington. Okay, Sal, he can't hear me. Let me see if I can. Let me see here. Okay, I'm bringing Sal back into the queue here. Sal, can
Hello?
You hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. I couldn't hear you for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had my mute button on. I'm trying to go over the truck finish here. Sheldon Creed made it two straight wins, winning the first two races of the playoffs this season, the last race of the season last year at Phoenix. He started from the pole. He also won stage two. John Hunter Nemechek finished second after winning the opening stage. And with just one race remaining in the round of 10, Nemechek has clinched his spot based on points. He is the rest of the finishing order here. Let me just go over the race results here. It was John Hunter Nemechek followed by Stuart Friesen, Todd Gilliland, Parker Kligerman in fifth, Grant Infinger in sixth. Then it was Chandler Smith, Johnny Sauter, Zane Smith, and Matt Crafton rounding out the top 10 finishers. There were four lead changes among three drivers, eight cautions for 35 yellow flag laps. The average speed of the race was 105.331 miles per hour. It was Sheldon's eighth victory in 70 Truck Series races, his third victory and ninth top 10 finish this year, and his second victory and second top 10 finish in three races at Darlington. John Hunter Nemechek posted his second top 10 finish in two races at Darlington and his 13th top 10 finish this year. Stuart Friesen in third posted his second top 10 finish in three races at Darlington. Chandler Smith was the highest finishing rookie, finishing in seventh. And actually, they're saying here, Sheldon Creed has won of the last five NASCAR Camping World Truck Series playoff races, and that goes back to 2020. So some really interesting things here with regard to the race this weekend.
Yeah, it was a really good race this weekend. You know, to see the trucks at Darlington, and God, Sheldon Creed just really put on a clinic out there. I think this is, like you said, it was his third or fourth Darlington win, and he loves that track.
Mhm. And he is very good at it. So
yeah, well, he just really.
Do you have any comments about that top 10?
Yeah, you know, just you know, it was good. I know Stuart Friesen was really excited, you know, to get that third place finish too, and they interviewed him afterwards. You know, mm-hmm. he was really excited, you know, along with the rest of them. You know, it's good to see, you know, the drivers, for those of you that caught the end of the race, it was good to see the drivers, you know, signing autographs on pit lane. I know they're interviewing, I forget what driver, and you can see Matt Crafton in the background. He was signing some autographs for some of the fans that were there, you know, so, you know, that's always, you know, good to see them. Yeah, see them hanging around, you know, after the race. They just don't, you know, get out of the car and you know, bolt for the, you know, for their haulers to get out of the track.
Yeah, there was a nice mix, too, of non-playoff players up there in the top 10. Most notably, Grant Infinger in the 98, Johnny Sauter in the 13, and Parker Kligerman in that number 75.
Yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and cover the point standings.
All right, so the points we got... Sheldon Creed leading the points. Second is John Hunter Nemechek. Third is Matt Crafton. Fourth is Stuart Friesen. Fifth is Ben Rhodes. And throughout the top six would be Todd Gilliland. Of course, we know Sheldon Creed, you know, he picked up, you know, his third win of the season. And, but, man, he just doesn't compare to John Hunter Nemechek, who's got 10 stage wins at 50 playoff points. That is amazing. Amazing numbers.
That's
right,
incredible.
There.
It is. Five
yeah,
wins
then,
and 10 stage wins give him 50 playoff points. That's wild.
Yeah.
But he's in second place by just 2 points.
Yeah, he's had a couple bad finishes, but you know, other than that, I mean, he's gonna basically, I think he basically locked himself in for the rest of the playoff, because that 50 points is it's just going to be hard and tough to beat. And then and at sixth we got Todd Gilliman. Seventh is Carson Hocevar. Eighth is Austin Hill. Ninth is Zane Smith, and 10th is Chandler Smith. They all got the top 10 of the points in the truck
yes,
series. And, of
indeed.
Course, 11th is Grant and Infinger.
Yeah, I think Grant's going to take that 11th place spot. He's done so well all year. It's a shame that he can't compete for the championship, but I think he's going to pretty much have that top 11th spot in hand. The next race for them at Bristol is going to be the cutoff race. So that's going to make the Bristol race pretty interesting, Sal.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is for these drivers, you know, they're at the bottom, you know, trying to get in. You know, it was kind of neat, you know, to see, you know, one of the guys that, you know, we usually have, you know, on the show, you know, is Dylan Lupton, too, that we forgot to mention. You know, who had a good run this week. And Lawless Allen,
that's
also,
right.
We've had him on the show a few times. He had a good run until Derek Krause decided he was going to be the bad boy and put him into the wall. I know they had talked about an incident that went on earlier, you know. And, I don't know.
Ben Rhodes
I know.
Ran into – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Sharon.
I was just going to say Ben Rhodes ran into some issues as well. He was the lowest finishing playoff driver, so it dropped him in the series point standings. He finished 34th and in the number 99 car. So that was a tough hit for him. I know he's going to want to come back at Bristol, so we'll have to see if he's able to recover from that big of a hit.
Yeah, you know, and you know, like we said, you know, anybody, you know, there's still drivers, you know, could possibly win. And you know, and we've seen it, you know, already happen in all three series. You know, a driver just come up, you know, with that one win, you know, to get themselves into the chase. So, yeah, Bristol's going to be an interesting race, and especially with it being a short track, and, you know, one of the tracks, you know, that is known for, you know, aggressive driving. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of aggressive driving next week, you know, from these drivers, you know, are going to be trying to make the chase.
Yeah, especially I think from the drivers that are trying to make up ground. A couple drivers kind of lost their positioning in the top 10 there, and nobody wants to be number 9 and 10 when the Bristol race is over, because those two drivers will be eliminated after Bristol.
Yeah, it's going to be a good interesting race, and you know it's you know I think it's a good cutoff race.
Yep, I agree. Okay, we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but that's okay. Let's go ahead and go on to the Xfinity Series. The Xfinity Series, their next race is at Richmond Raceway this coming weekend. They'll be racing on Saturday, September the 11th at 2:30 p.m., the Go Bowling 250, and that will be televised on NBC Sports Network. We'll cover that more in depth during the preview show on Thursday. But let's take a look at the last race, which was the Sports Flip Pair Cup BFW Help a Hero 200 at Darlington. So it was a big week for Noah Gregson. He snapped a 49-race winless streak by winning at Darlington, fresh from the announcement that he's returning to junior motorsports next year. Noah Gregson sped to victory at Darlington, clinching a spot into the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. So they still have two more races left in the Xfinity Series before their playoffs begin. So that was a big day for Noah Gregson. Denny Hamlin had a pit road penalty in the waning lap of Saturday's race at Darlington, and that opened the door for Noah Gregson to score his first victory of the season. But he did have to hold off the field on a pair of ridge starts to snap that 49-race winless streak. Harrison Burton earned his best finish of the season, coming in second. Austin Cindric was third. Justin Haley was fourth, and Jeb Burton round out the top five. Then it was Justin Allgaier in sixth place, Tyler Reddick, Jeremy Clements, Myatt Snyder, and Alex LaBey making up the rest of that top 10. Hamlin rebounded to a 12th place finish at the checkered flag, despite leading a race high of 43 laps. There were 19 lead changes among 8 drivers and 8 cautions for 41 yellow flag laps. The average speed of the race was 102.422 miles per hour. Noah Gregson got his third victory of his career in 93 Xfinity Series starts. It was his first victory this year, the 15th top 10 finish this year. It was also his first victory and fifth top 10 finish in 5 races at Darlington. Harrison Burton posted his third top 10 finish in 4 races at Darlington and his 17th top 10 finish this year. Austin Cindric was able to post his third top 10 finish in 6 races at Darlington. Jade Buford was 21st and was the highest finishing rookie. So that's pretty cool to see as well. So your thoughts about that top 10 group?
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if Noah Gregson is going to send Denny Hamlin a nice little Christmas card to thank him for that win, because Hamlin,
yeah,
he was definitely the driver to beat. He was the class of the field, and it was going to take a mistake, you know, on Hamlin's part, you know, to cost him. And it wasn't even his mistake; it was his crew that had brought the tire over the wall, too soon. They even argued the call, but, you know, NASCAR, you know, they had already made the call, but, you know, then, AJ Allmendinger, it looked like he was going to have a good run, but when they interviewed Allmendinger, you know, before the race, you know, he said, you know, this is one track he just cannot, he just cannot figure it out. You know, he did his best. You know, he ran up. He was running up, you know, for a little bit. He led, I think, like 24 laps. So he led a good portion of the race. But towards there at the end, he just didn't have the car to, you know, to keep competing.
That's true. The number 18 won the first stage, and it was the number 18, of course, is Daniel Hamrick. And then it was Noah Gregson winning the second stage and, of course, the last stage of the race. So, yeah, and the Sunoco rookie of the race, Jade Buford, he's had some pretty good runs in that number 48.
Yeah, he has the last few weeks. You know, we've been, you know, the last few races actually. You know, he's had a lot of good runs, and we'll see more from him. You know, as the season progresses.
Yeah, without a doubt, we'll see more from him. Now, there were a couple people accidents. Timmy Hill, of course, had an accident. As did Tommy Joe Martin. Also, Riley Earps, which broke my heart. Sam Mayer had a brake issue, and Greg Alding had electrical issues. So those are the drivers that did not finish the races and the reasons why they did not finish. So that was a big hit for Riley Earps.
Yeah, that was a nasty hit.
Yes.
That he took, you know, when he ran to the back of the car, didn't even see the car. Everybody opened, they moved, and he was just said there was nothing he could do. I mean, you couldn't even hit the brake quick enough, you know,
I was wondering
stop
about
or
the spotter.
Try to avoid it.
I know he came up so fast on that slow car. But I was wondering why the spotter wasn't saying go high or go low for Riley. I'm sure he was saying it. There was just no reaction time.
Yeah, where is he going to go when he had a car on top of him and a car on the bottom of him? So either way, you know, then when they moved at the last minute, you know, and then it was just, you know, there was just, you know, there was just nowhere to go.
Yeah, that's a shame. So let's take a look at the series point standings for the Xfinity Series. Again, they've got two races left to go to decide their final 12.
Well, the way it's looking now, it's got we got A.J. Allmendinger, who's still leading the points. Austin Cindric is in second. Justin Allgaier in third, Daniel Hamrick at fourth, then Harrison Burton fifth, and Justin Haley round out the top six. And in this series, you don't really see, I mean, you see a lot of drivers that aren't in double digits in playoff points, but you don't really see one driver, you know, who's just, you know, really out there in front, even though Austin Cindric does have 34 now. But then you got A.J. Allmendinger that's only 11 behind with 23 points. And then, of course, Justin Allgaier with his 11 and Justin Haley with his 10 points.
Two races, those two guys are going to be fighting each other for that championship for the regular season and the bonus 15 playoff points. So,
yes.
I look for these two to be in a very heated battle over these next two events.
Yeah, and it seems like A.J. Allmendinger might have the upper hand. He's kind of, even though he had a bad week, I mean, he still had a lot of laps, but it seems like he's got a lot of momentum going into these last couple races, you know, that's going to decide, you know, that's going to actually decide the championship.
Okay, the next six drivers?
And then next six is seventh is Noah Gregson, who just picked up a win. Eighth is Jeb Burton, who also has a win. Ninth is Jeremy Clements. Tenth is Brandon Jones. 11th is Riley Herbst, and 12th is Matt Snyder, who also has a win.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, below the line right now are Michael Lynette, Ryan Sieg, Brandon Jones. So those guys are pretty far back. I think it's going to be hard for them to make up enough ground to make it in. They're in a must-win situation, I think, at this point. Don't you think, Sal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely in a must-win situation there. I don't think in the next 2 weeks that they can make up, you know, make up that ground. So it's going to be tough. But, you know, I mean, if they get that win, of course they get the win, then they're in. Unless they, unless maybe Ty gives himself, we'll sell him a win. NASCAR will allow it, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't
that
think that's going to happen.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, these guys, as far as their schedule goes, they've got two more events. I believe, let's take a look at their schedule and see what's up on the schedule for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, the next two races here. I should have my book here, and I don't. So I'm going to look it up, the schedule. Okay, next up, of course, for the Xfinity Series, we've mentioned it a little bit earlier. They are going to be racing Federated Auto Parts 400 at Richmond Raceway, and then they will also be racing at Bristol Motor Speedway. So those are the last two races before their round of 12 begins at Las Vegas Motor Speedway on September the 26th. So, wow, two exciting tracks for the last two races for the Xfinity Series. So.
Oh yeah, they got Richmond coming up. Yeah, coming up this weekend. You know, on September 11th, like you said, and then they got Bristol the following week, and then you know they start the playoffs. Yeah, so Richmond and Bristol are definitely going to be too good. They're going to be two exciting races to see. Two good races, you know, to see how they can, come out and you know, see how they. You know, how everything shakes out.
Yeah, and it's interesting because on the entry list for the Xfinity Series, am I looking at this correctly? Maybe I've, hold on. That was not the Xfinity Series. Okay, their next race is Richmond. Okay, so let me look and see who we've got on the entry list for that Richmond race real quick, see if there's any. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to be racing at Richmond in the number 8. So that's going to make the race interesting. Looking to see if there's any other drivers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he had mentioned that, you know, I think that's something they've been talking about, you know, during the commentary, you know, was Dale Jr. coming, you know, to race the, you know, to race the race on September 11th, you know, it's the, as we all know, it's the anniversary of the, you know, the attacks on the Twin Towers in New York. So I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be a throwback paint scheme, but I don't know. You might see something patriotic. I don't know if there's been any announcements.
I know some of the drivers, there's already, I think JD Motorsports is doing a United 93 paint scheme to honor that flight and to acknowledge the losses from 9/11 of 2001. So, yeah, it is going to be interesting to see what other paint schemes come out commemorate those losses.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens on that weekend.
Okay, so that's the one that stands out to me is Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to be in that number eight. You've also got J.J. Yaley that's going to be racing for Bobby Dodder in the number 17. Patrick Emmerling will be racing for Our Motorsports in the number 23. Josh Berry will be in the 31 with Jordan Anderson, just to kind of point out some of the Akinori Ogata will be racing with Jimmy Means Motorsports in the number 52 this weekend. He's coming from Japan for that event, so that'll make it interesting as well.
Yes, so, that international flavor come in. You know,
yes.
we have two drivers from Japan who are racing the ARCA Menards West Series. You know, as
ooh,
we know,
cool.
You know, Takuma Koga. I think he resigned to be back with, to come back with Jerry Pitch Racing next year. I know he raced with them this year, and before that, he was racing with Joe Nava with the PP1 Performance. So from what I've seen, it looks like Tacoma is—he's already getting lined up the sponsors for next season for the ARCA Menards West Series. So that's always exciting, you know, to see, you know, the drivers, you know.
It is.
I totally agree. Yeah, to see the international flavor.
Okay, now let's go ahead and move on to the Cup Series. Their next race is the Federated Auto Parts Salute to American Heroes 400 at Richmond. They'll be racing Saturday night for that race. Again, there's no practice or qualifying for them, but we will go over that on Thursday night's show as we preview that race. But we also want to talk here about the Cookout Southern 500 at Darlington Raceway. That race took place on Sunday. Denny Hamlin was able to hold up Kyle Larson at Darlington for a dramatic Cup Series playoff win. And after going winless throughout the regular season, Denny Hamlin wins the very first playoff race for the Cup Series. So he maintained control of the number 11 Joe Gibbs Toyota as Larson was burying his number 5 Chevrolet into turns 3 and 4 on that last lap. Larson gave Hamlin a tap, but Hamlin blocked the top lane and got to the finish line at 0.212 seconds ahead of Kyle Larson. So the win was his first win this year, his fourth victory at Darlington, and 45th win of his career. Larson finished in second, followed by Chastain, Martin Truex, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Chris Buescher, and Austin Dillon rounds out the top 10. Now, the pole sitter, Ryan Blaney, finished 22nd after he had a late race spin. Hamlin took the lead with 68 laps left and held off the late charge by both Larson and Chastain. The win, of course, locks him into the round of 12, but there were a number of playoff drivers that ran into trouble. I was amazed at how many of the playoff drivers had problems. On lap 32, Michael McDowell got loose and slid down the track into the inside wall, tearing up the front of his car, and he could not continue and ended up finishing 37th. Just after the start of the second stage, Kyle Busch got hard into the outside wall after contact by the number 3 and tore up the rear of his car. He went to the garage and finished 37th. He did say it wasn't Austin's fault. They were having problems with the car. William Byron cut a tire down on lap 200 and slid up into the wall. The car could not be repaired, so he finished 34th. With 41 laps remaining, Chase Elliott made contact with the wall and tore up the front end of his car. He finished 31st. Stage 1 was run by Denny Hamlin, Stage 2 by Kyle Larson. There were 18 lead changes among 10 drivers, 11 cautions for 52 yellow flag laps. The average speed of the race was 121.279 miles per hour. Denny Hamlin got his 45th victory on 569 Cup Series starts. Again, his first victory this year and 18th top 10 finish this year. It was his fourth victory and 15th 10 finish in 19 races at Darlington. Kyle Larson posted his seventh top 10 finish in 8 races at Darlington and his 19th top 10 finish this year. Ross Chastain posted his first top 10 finish in 5 races at Darlington, and Chase Briscoe, who finished 19th, was the highest finishing rookie of the race. So any thoughts about those drivers, Sal?
Yeah, it was a good run by Denny. He just, I mean, I'm sure what he learned on, you know, from running the Xfinity race, you know, probably helped him out, you know, on, to run the Cup race, because he ran basically the same line and kind of dominated the same way. Had it not been for that pit road penalty, he would have probably ended up, you know, sweeping the weekend, you know, Xfinity Cup. But, to still see, you know, to get that win, you know, I know we've talked about him and, you know, him and Kevin Harvick, you know, not having a win so far this season, you know, it's kind of strange. You know, then to open up the, chase and get that win, you know, was a huge confidence booster, I'm sure, you know, for the number 11 team.
Yeah, I've been saying pretty much all season long, when we saw this trend developing for Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick, that I have a feeling that it's going to come alive in these last 10 races. So Kevin Harvick ended up in fifth place. Denny Hamlin won the race. So I look for these guys to have a strong run in these last 10 races. It's interesting to point out, though, too, that 9 of the 16 drivers finished 16th or worse in this race. So all the drivers that we talked about who had issues, there were others that didn't have the finish they were looking for. Eric Almirola finished in 16th place. Tyler Reddick in 18th place. Christopher Bell 20th. Ryan Blaney ended up 22nd. Justin Haley 25th. Alex Bowman 26th. So, yeah, these were not the finishes some of these guys were looking for.
Oh, no, and even to see, you know, like you said, Vroom Byron, you know, so, you know, had, you know, hit the wall too, you know, to see Kyle Busch and, you know, Kyle Busch got so early, you know, was, you know, I know wasn't, like you
shocking.
Said, you know, wasn't, it, yeah, it was shocking. It wasn't Austin Dillon's fault, you know, he just, but then he, you know, he let his frustration get the best of him, figure up that $50,000 fine, you know, by driving into the, back to the garage area and knocked over all the cones. And, you know, most of the spectators that were back there, you know, no one's expecting him to come, you know, barreling through there, because usually, you know, they stop the car, you know, they'll move the cones, you know, then the drivers will drive back, get a chance to move them. But he's lucky he didn't actually hit a spectator or
hit a pedestrian.
An official or hit somebody. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he is. Very, very lucky. And I'm glad NASCAR did something to address that. 7 of the playoff drivers finished inside the top 8 drivers. So it just was an interesting start to the playoffs at Darlington. Only 7 drivers finishing inside the top 10. Playoff drivers finishing inside the top 10 there. Let's go ahead and cover the points.
Okay, let's get to the points. So we're looking at the points now. Is that let's see, driver points standings. Kyle Larson still leads the points. Denny Hamlin says second in points. Kyle Larson has 53 playoff points. Denny Hamlin with 21 playoff points. Martin Truex Jr. in third with 24 playoff points. Kurt Busch is in fourth with 8 playoff points. Ryan Blaney in fifth with 24 playoff points, and Joey Logano sixth. And Kevin Harvick is holding strong to the seventh spot without a win. He's the highest so far the highest driver without a win in the points. Yeah. And then they round out the top eight is Brad Keselowski.
Yeah, it is interesting. Only two drivers are in the top 16 this year without a win, and that's Kevin Harvick and Tyler Reddick. So it'll be interesting to see how long they go into the playoffs before one of the two of them come up with a victory.
And then from there, then we go ninth is Christopher Bell. In tenth place is Chase Elliott, who lost. Well, this is the first race of the playoffs, so he, you know, but still he lost a lot of ground, you know, with the wreck. And then 11th is Eric Almirola, 12th is Tyler Reddick, 13th is Alex Bowman, 14th is Kyle Busch, 15th is William Byron, and 16th is Michael McDowell. So those last four drivers, they got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you can see how they really lost some ground. Yeah, with those incidents that took place on the track. Austin Hill's on the outside looking in. He was 17th, and he's holding on to that 17th spot. So by a pretty significant amount.
Yeah. You're talking about Austin Dillon?
Yeah, isn't that what I said?
No, you said Austin Hill.
Oh, Dawson Dillon is who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Austin Dillon at 13th spot. So,
okay.
I mean, it still looks tough up and down the, you know, it's only the first race in. You know, I'm sure, you know, we might see, you know, Danny Hamlin picked up a win. We might see another, maybe one of the other regulars, you know, pick up a win, you know, also.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of things can happen. I want to go back here and look at the Xfinity Series because I got a feeling. Oh, no, I gave it right. Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe I gave the wrong information there. Now, these guys have two more races before their cutoff, the Cup Series. They're going to be racing Richmond this week, and their cutoff is going to be at Bristol as well. So, again, that's going to make it very, very interesting. And just a preview of the preview, let's take a look at the entry list for Richmond Raceway. It's going to be interesting. I was really impressed with Ross Chastain. I thought he had a pretty good run going at Darlington. It'll be interesting to see what he's able to do at Richmond.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be
he's one of the non-playoff drivers. So, yeah, their next races are at Richmond this weekend and the Bass Pro Shops night race at Bristol Motor Speedway on September the 18th. So that's going to be a big night at Bristol because you've got, three different series that are going to be having some kind of a cutoff. It's the end of the Xfinity Series regular season. It's a cutoff race for the Truck Series. It's a cutoff race for the Cup Series. So there's going to be some happy people and some unhappy people when Bristol Motor Speedway races are finished.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's why I was mentioning earlier, I think it's a good race to, to kind of have that, you know, that cutoff race, you know, is with Bristol. It's going to be an exciting race, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is indeed. Definitely looking forward to it. Now, we have a guest coming up, Sal, and I'm going to have to step away so you can pretty much carry this interview with our next guest. But tell us a little bit about him and why he's on the show tonight.
Our next guest. Our only guest tonight is Jaden Walbridge. Actually, he's being coached by Derek Thorne. Derek has sent me a message and asked me, if we can get him on the show. You know, he's start out, racing in the in the junior late model program over at Madera Speedway, and this year he's running the pro dates. So he's an up and coming driver, that's making his
15
years old, making a statement, and it's kind of cool because he's the first driver this year to pick up two wins in the prolate model the 5150 prolate models over at Madera Speedway, which if you go to Madera Speedway you can watch all their races, and all their races are shown on Madera. Well, it's MAV TV, but you can watch it online, and it's free. You don't have to pay for the feed, so you can watch all the races on MAV TV / Madera TV, whatever they call it. But it's pretty cool. So on Saturdays when they run.
Jaden is here if you want to go ahead and bring him. I brought him into the queue if you want to go ahead and start the interview. And like I say, I have to step away, but I will be back when the interview is complete.
Okay. Well, our guest for tonight is Jaden Walbridge. He races out of Vancouver, Washington. He makes a trek down to Madera, California to race in the Pro Late this season, inside the race of the Pro Lates. He started out with the junior late models and this season. Is this your first season? First of all, let's welcome you to the show. Let's welcome Jaden to the show. Welcome to the show, Jaden.
Thank you guys. I really, really appreciate you guys having me on. It's an honor.
Is this your first season with the Pro Lates, right?
Yeah, we're trying to go. We got two races left. We're trying to go for Rookie of the Year and Champion.
Okay, so how many seasons did you run with the junior late models?
We ran, I believe it was 2019. We ran the whole season. That was my rookie year in a late model, and then 2020 season, I believe we only ran like three races, and then we actually had stopped racing until this year, and then I stepped up to the pros. So, only in that first season that I did, it got cut short as well because, a lot of those races, we just had bad luck. And to nobody's fault, we just had, bad luck with mechanical issues and you know how racing goes. But really, I only had about maybe even less than 10 races in the juniors, and then stepped up to the pros this year.
So kind of give us a little background on how you got started in racing. I mean, did you always race asphalt, or did you start quarter midgets and dirt, or were you a BMX rider, or are you one of those trick skateboard guys, that can do all those crazy flips that you're going to get in the car?
Well, I started out when I was about four on a road course and just a flat go-kart basically. And then I ran that a little bit on and off, just kind of getting ready. And then when I was eight years old, I went to outlaw karts in the dirt and raced that. And I went up to 500 open class, and I was the youngest to ever win a race and youngest to ever win a championship. And then at the age of 11, where I had to get special permission, I went back to Millbridge, North Carolina, and raced next to Kyle Larson, Tanner Thorson, Rico Abreu, battled with Ricky Stenhouse in my heat race, and then won that. So youngest to do that as well. And then from there, I think I was about 13, 14, I stepped up to the to the junior late models first at in Las Vegas. Got Rookie of the Year and Champion in that. And then ran the Madera stuff in the juniors. And then now I'm running the pros, obviously, at Madera.
So was most of your racing done as far as, you know, as far as your asphalt? Was most of it done with, you know, at, I mean, you did mention Las Vegas. So I think it was between Las Vegas and Madera was where you did most of your racing at?
Yeah, so 2019, we were actually running both of them. So I was trying to, it was my rookie year in a junior late model, and then we were running both of them. And then in 2020, we just, we didn't run Vegas anymore. We were just going to go for Madera. And then, like I said, we only ran about three races, and then that season got cut short.
So when you first got started in racing, who was the one, you know, okay, first of all, what team did you run with? Was it your own team, or was it a car, you know, that you guys had rented from another driver? Or because I know a lot of the drivers that get started, you know, it's usually a friend, you know, that has a junior late model, or, you know, a late model, you know, or whatever they're going to drive, you know, it's usually rented, or they'll try it out, you know, see if they like it, you know, then that's when they end up, you know, spending the money, you know, to put their own racing program together.
Yeah, so we first, at the very end of 2018, we rented a car from John Keller, and it was Kyle's at the time, and we ran the open comp show in Vegas as a junior late model. That was my first ever race, and, you know, that was a lot of fun. And then from there, we bought the car, and then we ran with Keller Motorsports for 2019 in Vegas and Madera. And then for 2020 as well. And then this season, we're just running basically our own stuff. We own the car, and having Mike Juarez help us and keeping the car up in Sacramento. And it's just, you know, very, very thankful for everyone that makes this possible. But, you know, I think it's a lot more comfortable for me to kind of be able to work on my own stuff. And, so, yeah, I mean, I think that's what makes a lot of difference, just being comfortable for where it's at. And I think that's where some of the successes came from this season.
You know, and actually that's where I see a lot of drivers where they excel, is when they work on their own car, because not only when you work on your own car, but you get to know the car, you know, inside and out. You know, you get to know how it performs, how it shouldn't perform. And the feedback that you can give, you know, to the whoever set up your, you know, whoever's doing your setups, you know, from week to week, you know, once you unload, you know, it's helpful. I see a lot of young drivers, you know, they just want to go to the track and they just want to get behind the wheel of the car, you know, and race it, you know, but they don't want to put the time, you know, to get their hands dirty, or get to know what makes that car run. And I'm sure, you know, the path you're taking, you know, is the right path, because eventually, you know, if you keep, you know, advancing, you know, as you start picking up the wins, you know, you get to know the car better and better. It's going to, in the long run, it's going to help you out a lot.
Yeah. And I really contribute that, to Derek Thorne, because he really, helped me take that next step. And you know, He's given me so much valuable information, and, you know, just sometimes taking a step back and just realizing stuff that I didn't even realize before. And, you know, it's been such a huge help to my career.
You know, one of the questions I was going to ask you was how you got Derek, you know, as kind of like, I don't know if he's a driver coach or, you know, or how, you know, he got involved with your program. Then when you mentioned Keller, I know he helps Kyle Keller a lot. But just on a real quick note on Derek, you know, I've known Derek a long time, and I'll tell you, that guy is the one driver that knows everything inside and out about his car, and that's why Derek has the success that he has, is because what he takes off the track, he can bring it to Mike, and him and Mike can put their program together. And when you said Derek, I had a feeling he's the one that's instilling that in you the same way, you know, telling, you know, hey, if you want to be successful, you know, you've got to know your car. You have to know everything, the ins and outs of it. you know what, you have to be around it and you have to treat it like you're, you know, if you're married, you got to treat it like, you know, like it's your wife, you know, and you got to, you have to know every nut and bolt on that car.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I could not be more thankful for Derek and how much information he's given me. You know, I really, I've said this before, I really can't even, you know, think of one thing bad about the guy. You know, outside the race car, he's a great guy. You know, he's a great guy to work with, and, you know, he's helped me out so much. So, again, I really cannot be more thankful.
You know, and actually being so young, you know, you're only 16, you know, to take the time out to take, you know, everything in, you know, about the car, but then also, you know, you have your schoolwork, you know, that you still have to think about. I'm sure your parents instill in you, you know, I know a lot of the younger drivers that we talk to, you know, it's if you don't get good grades, you know what, the car is going to go park, and you know what, you're not going to get behind the wheel of it.
Yeah, and a little story about that. We actually, you know, coming from Vancouver, Washington, I had always had to take, you know, a lot of time off of school to travel because we'd go to California, you know, almost 30, 40 times a year. And so a couple years back, before coronavirus started, I actually started to do online homeschool to make that a little bit easier and to be able to do it on the road. And so, you know, that's been a really big help in taking a lot of the stress off of the school side of it. So, and then when the coronavirus hit, everybody kind of went to online. But, yeah, it's definitely been a huge help because I'd have to take Thursday and Fridays off of school. And now I can basically just do it from home or on the road.
So let's talk a little about racing in Madera. I know Madera is a tough track. You know, I've been there before. You know, I've seen some, you know, I've seen some good battles there. I've seen a lot of frustrated drivers. I've seen a lot of hotheads. And you know, and that the pro late models of Madera, you know, they do put on a, you know, a really good show. What's it like driving against, you know, some of the veterans, you know, like the Herzogs? You know, you got you know, Vieira, you know, once in a while you get, you know, Huddleston that comes down, you know, to race down there, you know, and, you know, you have all your, you know, Ericssons, you have all the different, you know, shoes that are down there that are really, you know, putting on a good show out there.
Yeah. And you know, I think that just goes to show how much hard work Kenny has put into it. And, you know, it's really, really huge to be able to race there on national television. And, you know, it's great competition there. And one of the things I like about Madera is, you know, everybody in the pits just has so much respect for each other. And, you know, I wasn't anticipating to get the respect from some of the drivers. But, you know, it's just been a great year so far. And I've made a lot of friends and gotten a lot of respect from people. And one of the things about Madera is, and this is the way it is at a lot of racetracks, is, you know, like even if you have a problem and you go in the infield, there's a lot of other teams that will be there to help you. You know, so that's just cool to see in racing.
So where did the number come from, the 07 and your color scheme? Is there any reason why, you know, you chose, you know, the blue and the 07, or is the color is it just something, you know, that you just thought about, or it's your favorite color, or is there like maybe you're a Dodger fan at heart and you like the blue?
Well, actually we got the car just blue. This is the way we got it, and we don't have any sponsors right now, so we just left it. You know, you don't have anything on there, it's just kind of a blank slate. And the 07 came from my grandpa because he'd raced back in the day, so that's where the 07 came from.
So how far back do your racing roots go?
My grandpa, just my grandpa, really, he was racing in the 80s and the 90s, and he did a lot of West Coast stuff, and then he went back east a couple of times. But that's, you know, when I was 4 years old, that's really, you know, who got me racing in the first place, and I really loved it ever since then.
So racing against, you know, Stenhouse, you know, Rico, and Kyle Larson, what made you decide to go to asphalt and not stay in the dirt? Because I know a lot of drivers, most of them start in dirt, and a lot of them stay in dirt. And then, of course, you get the ones, you know, that, you know, do the transition, you know, from dirt to asphalt. But I still know a lot of younger drivers that raced over to Irwindale that went from asphalt. Actually, they went back to dirt.
Yeah, so I had went to asphalt in the first place because that's what my grandpa had raced, late models, and he ran some of the tour stuff back then. But, you know, it was just dirt wasn't a really route I wanted to take. One of the big reasons was my grandpa, you know, he's not a big fan of the sprint cars. He loves watching them, but he's not a big fan of the safety, and they've gotten a little bit better these last couple years. But when I was growing up, going through the dirt rankings, there's a couple guys that were killed, and he's just never been a huge fan of that. So, and he also wanted me to kind of follow his footsteps as well. So, you know, I raced dirt and I raced asphalt, and they're both a lot of fun in their different ways. But, you know, they're both tough in their different ways. But, you know, I'm really, really liking asphalt right now. And like I said, I'd love to – it'd be fun probably to get back in a dirt car one day just to kind of slide around. But I'm really looking forward to just sticking basically to the asphalt stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's a – that's the one thing I've always – when I've talked to, you know, drivers, you know, who have played around with both ways, you know, and they stick to asphalt. And that's one of the things they always talk about, you know, the safety aspect. Sure, the sprint cars are safe, but it seems like, you know, the crashes in a sprint are more violent. You know, yeah, you'll see violent crashes in a stock car, but you got more protection around you than a sprint car. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, the latest one was Brian Clausen, you know, one of the, you know, the greats out there, you know, and, you know, everybody, you know, thought he was indestructible. You know, Jason Leffler, you know, another one. You know, everyone thought they were indestructible. They're the best of the best, you know. But, you know, it took their lives. But yet, you know, you don't see that much. You see some in stock cars, but not as much as you see in the, on the, you know, the, on the sprint car end.
Yeah. And the situation with Brian Clausen, you know, that was really unfortunate. And a lot of the reason I think that happened was is a lot of times with the sprint cars, when they'll roll over, the wing absorbs a lot of the energy and the speed they're going. And Brian Clausen was in a wingless sprint car, so he didn't really have the wing to absorb a lot of that. But, you know, either way you cut it, it's just really never been a road I've been that interested in, and neither has my grandpa as far as the safety aspect of it.
So what does the future hold for you? Once the season – you know, once the Pro League season ends over here at Madera, is there any chance that you might travel, maybe try to get with the Pro League with the Southwest Tour Series or try another, or maybe even jump into a tour car?
Yeah, you know, I love, you know, any opportunity that gets put in front of me. You know, and I really don't know what's in store for me next year. We'll kind of just see how it goes. Hopefully, these last two races go smoothly, and I can get the championship. But you know, anything can happen in racing. So you know, I'm not sure about next year yet, but I guess we'll just see.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about the crew and the team that you're working with right now in the junior? On your Pro League team.
Yeah, so Mike Juarez, and he keeps a shop in Sacramento, and we're renting a shop, and we're actually Jim Noonan and Lori Noonan. I got to thank them for all their hospitality, but they're letting us use their trailer as well. So, you know, it's really these last couple races, it's just been me and Mike, and, you know, a lot of supervision from Derek Thorne and you know, but as far as getting back to the shop, it's just really me and Mike. So we've been looking for a couple crew guys these last couple ones, but we couldn't find any. So we're hoping we can get one or two for this next one. But, you know, it's just been a lot of hard work in that smoke last race at Madera kept the sun away a little bit and it kept the temperatures down. So that was definitely helpful. It wasn't 106 or 104. But, you know, it's just a lot of hard work so far, and, you know, and these last two races are not going to be easy, that's for sure.
So out of all the advice that Derek has given you, what would you say is the one single piece of advice that you take to you when you put your helmet on, you get in the car, you know, you do your parade laps, they throw the green flag, and then the one thing, you know, that you would say that, you know, that Derek has, you know, has helped you with, you know, that, that, you know, that you kind of keep with you as the race is, like I said, as it starts and as it's progressing.
One of the biggest things is just kind of keeping, I noticed like once we've been doing kind of our own program and our own car, and one of the biggest things Derek has taught me is kind of just, you know, staying relaxed and really just kind of focus. Like I remember in the car, let's say last year or the year before, I'd really just trying to focus on hitting my line every lap. But, you know, but now I'm just kind of a little bit more relaxed and I'm more focused on seeing what the car's doing so I can change it when I get out rather than hitting my line every lap. So, you know, there's a fine line there. And, you know, obviously knowing what to do to the car, because like you said, Derek knows every inch on those cars. So Derek taught me a lot of what I know. And there's just really a lot of great things. You know, I can't really list them all because there's so many of them. I can't think of them off the top of my head. But like I said, I can't be more thankful for him.
And and one last thing, is there any sponsors, you know, the traveling car that you want to give a shout out to?
Nope, just my grandpa and grandma for this great opportunity and being able to race. And like I took the year off last year, and when I started racing again this year, you know, I really realized and kind of took a step back and realized how much fun it was. So just my grandma and grandpa for this opportunity, and I hope that I'll be able to race next year too.
Well, so you're kind of taking the Sheldon Creed route, because that's how Sheldon races. He doesn't get any sponsors. His grandpa told him, if you want to race, don't worry about the sponsorship. Just worry about driving the hell out of the car and winning races. He goes, I'll take care of the rest. That's why you hardly see any sponsors on Sheldon's cars, because he doesn't really push for them, because his grandpa, you know, told him, you know, just, you know, concentrate on driving the car, you know, and I'll worry about how you're going to get, you know, to each race, you know, and how you're going to get to the track.
Yeah, and that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of people ask me a lot about the championship and this and that, but it's just like, you know, I'm just focused on winning from race to race, and, you know, and if you do good in qualifying, and like at Madera, they had the halfway break, and if you do good in the race, you know, I believe championships will come, so that's just kind of, you know, the approach we're taking it, and yeah, but the season's been great so far, and hopefully we can close it out. That'd be great.
Well, Jayden, I just want to say, you know, good luck the rest of the season. Thanks for coming on. It's good talking to you. And hopefully, you know, when you win that, if and when you win that championship, you know, we'll give you a call back. You'll have you come back on, and you know, we'll talk in a little bit, you know, about the last two races, you know, and maybe by then, you know, you'll have something, you know, to talk about, you know, as far as, you know, what 2022 holds. But for today, you know what, good luck, you know, on your preparations, and good luck with the rest of the upcoming season. And like I said, hopefully we'll see you at a track one of these races.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like I said, I really, really appreciate you having me on. It means a lot.
Okay. Well, thank you, and you have a good evening, and stay safe, and we'll talk to you later on.
All right, thank you. You too.
Okay, all right, good night. Well, that was
okay.
Jayden Walbridge shared. Oh, that was,
yeah.
Jayden Walbridge from, it was a really good interview. Really, really, he's
covered
really
a lot of info there.
He's going to be a driver.
To it. Yeah.
He's
going
to be a driver to
like
really watch coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. An up and coming driver. And you couldn't ask for a better mentor than Derek to be kind of helping him out, and he talks about all the valuable advice that he's gotten from him and how important his grandma and grandpa are. We know family is always important, but yeah, it's really great. And the fact that he's doing his schooling online to kind of help out with his racing career, I think that's all awesome.
It is, you know, and that's just another facet of Derek. You know, he's, you know, is helping these young up and coming drivers, you know, with their, you know, with their, you know, with their race programs. You know, it's important, you know, that the older drivers, you know, take the time out, you know, and help them out, you know, And I can imagine that has to be hard on Derek's part, because Derek's, well, of course, we know he's married. He's got two kids, you know, that he still has to tend to, plus his own racing program, you know, which, mm-hmm. you know, he's very successful at, you know, and then, you know, helping out Kyle Keller and also helping out Jaden and who knows who else, you know, and I mean, his plate is full. But yeah, when you go down and talk to him at the track, he's really one of the nicest guys you could ever talk to. And
definitely,
I'll tell you,
definitely. I had a chance to meet him
showing.
Out at Iowa Speedway, and he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got a few updates that I want to make sure we get in tonight as well, Sal. And you know, this weekend the ARCA West is racing the Grand Prix of Portland at Portland International Raceway. Be 5 p.m. Pacific time. That means 8 p.m. Eastern time. They'll be racing the Portland 112, and it will be available for live streaming on Track Pass if you're an NBC Gold member. But always remember, if you don't have the NBC Gold Track Pass, go to arcaracing.com. They have radio coverage there as well, and you can go to the Race Central and keep up with everything that's happening at the track. So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Oh yeah, it definitely is going to be a good one. I mean, you got a couple new rookies in there. Eric Nascimento, who races over and does a lot of racing in Madera, and actually he made his first Southwest Tour start this past race that we had over here in Stockton. And then Rod Beeland, who's also from Sonoma, he's a firefighter from Sonoma. He usually only comes out one race a season, and he only races the road course of Sonoma. But he called me and told me he's going to be up at he's going to be up there at Portland this weekend too. So
oh,
you know,
cool.
You got a couple of them. Then Taylor Gray is also going to make a start, and Stafford Smith, who hasn't made a start in, gosh, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, he's also making a start. And actually, they just built a big karting track over in Idaho, and you got to really look at that track. That place is awesome. But so, you know, you're gonna have a few. Yeah, that place
good.
Is awesome. So
okay,
like I said, it's gonna be a
quite a party scene. Okay, now not this week, but next week, the ARCA Menards Series will be racing at Bristol Motor Speedway, and this is one of those three-for races. Two series, but three series point standings, and a season finale, because this is a combination event with the ARCA Menards Series East, and it will be televised on Fox Sports 1, the Busch Beans 200 on September the 16th at 6:30 Eastern Time at Bristol Motor Speedway. And so there's going to be points for the ARCA Menards Series, points for the ARCA East. Their season finale for the ARCA East, so they are closing up their season at Bristol Motor Speedway in the ARCA East. And it is race number 9 of 10 for the Sioux Chief Showdown. So the third series that will gain points at this race at Bristol Motor Speedway on September the 16th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time there at Bristol Motor Speedway. So big, big race for the ARCA Menards Series, the East, and the Sioux Chief Showdown at Bristol.
Oh, yeah, they'll be crowning a champion. Plus, you know, and I think the reason they do that, too, I think it's to open up the, you know, to open up the Phoenix race, you know, for the East drivers, you know, that want to, you know, so this way, you know, basically, they don't want to do. I don't think they want to crown two champions, because then it's just not right. The West needs their own championship race, just like the East needs their own championship race.
Exactly,
so,
right. So, but it has been fun to watch the East and the ARCA Menards Series kind of race together in some of these companion events that they've been in, along with the Sioux Chief Showdown. So it gives them a chance to go for points in all three of those series. So definitely mark it on your calendar. It's going to be fun to watch. Are you going to be at a racetrack this weekend, Sal?
Yeah, I'll probably be at Irwindale. We're having our Night of Destruction, and we're also doing the what we call the our 911 tribute for all the all the servicemen and stuff like that. So it should be exciting. I was thinking, I don't know, I'm still on the fence. There's still flights. I might make a flight and take a flight out to Portland for this race.
Oh, I think that would be fun. A programming note real quick for everybody. There is no Hot Topic sound off here tonight. We will be back Thursday night with our Hot Topics. We've got quite a few Hot Topics to discuss. Hopefully the 2022 schedule will be out before Thursday night. So what do you think?
Well, hopefully it will be. It's going to be exciting. I know there's a lot of exciting things coming up in 2022, including a possible race at the LA Coliseum that's been talked about, but it hasn't really been made official until today when NASCAR.com finally put an article up about it. But there's a chance that we might get the it's going to be an exhibition race.
It's going to replace the Clash at Daytona.
Yeah, and it's going to be a quarter mile track because that's all they can fit inside the Coliseum. It's a football field, basically what it is. But it'll be nice because it'll be in my backyard. So.
Well, maybe we'll race again at Soldier Field. You know, they used to race it many years ago at Soldier Field.
Yeah. That's right.
Here in Chicago. So it would be kind of cool to see them come back there, too. That kind of opens the door for a world of possibilities.
Yeah, that's right. It does.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens with that, Sal. And I'm definitely looking forward to that 2022 schedule coming out. I'm hoping it's this week. I don't know that it's going to be this week. But with so much talk about some of the potential changes, they're talking about dropping a race at Pocono. They're talking about picking up another race at another track. Where did I just put that? Hold on here real quick. If you've got just a couple minutes. Yeah. Adam Stern reported this. He said, among the notables, WWT Raceway at Gateway near St. Louis race, while Pocono Raceway might lose a race. So some more potential changes that are coming up on the schedule. So the fact that they're talking about some of these things tells me that they're getting close to releasing that 2022 schedule. I can't wait to see what else is in store there.
You know, and I wouldn't mind them. It wouldn't bother me a bit if they lost a race at Pocono. You know, replaced it with something else. You know, kind of mix up the schedule. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Exactly what I was going to say. It sounds like they're looking at some interesting changes. To kind of liven things up and kind of refresh the schedule a little bit. So just be on the lookout for that this week. But, Sal, it's been a lot of fun doing the review show with you tonight, and I'll look forward. We'll be back to Monday night next week. So look for us next Monday night. That's the 13th of September. And then we will be here this Thursday night, September the 9th, for our preview show of the upcoming weekend of racing at Richmond and at Portland. So definitely looking forward to it. And we hope everybody has a good week, and we'll see you on the other side, Sal.
Okay. All right, everybody have a good weekend. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
And I made it through the whole show, and I never called you anything but Sal.
Yeah, you didn't call me Jay or
Andy.
Or I forgot who the other one, Andy and all that. So,
so
big improvement.
Okay. Big improvement. Okay. Take care, Sal.
Okay. Okay. Goodbye.
Good.